Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. After spending the past 5 years in the Amazon jungle, my first guest says, people are born to be wild. We'll hear about her adventures, perspectives, and shamanic experiences in just a moment. Coming up at 12:30, author Kristin Kaufman returns, this time to talk about her latest book in her series, Is This Seat Taken? This book is full of great stories about amazing people. It's targeted at business executives and people in general who find themselves at a crossroads in career or life. And who has not been there? Myself, many times, more than once, I can tell you. But I read this book and I felt so motivated and inspired after reading it. It makes you appreciate that life really is a journey and you never know where that next twist will take you or when it will come. But first, talking of journeys, let me introduce my first guest, Tracy James. She holds a master's degree in counseling psychology and has extensive training in personal and spiritual development. She's an emotional intuitive, certified life coach, and she apprenticed for the past 5 years in the Amazon jungle with an indigenous shaman. She's an avid traveler, going to many sacred places on the planet like Peru, India, Nepal, Australia. And she really enjoys learning from native teachers. And Tracy, I'm so pleased that you could join us today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vicki. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Well, I can't wait to hear about your shamanic apprenticeship for the past 5 years. But before we get there, I want to learn just a little bit more about you, share a little bit more with our listeners. You have a passion that you like to talk. I heard this on your website, and I'm wondering if you'd share with us what you see as your passion and your purpose in life.
You know, my passion is it happens in that moment when I'm working with someone and I can feel that they're reconnecting with their bodies and their true selves, and there's an energy and there's an aliveness that radiates from people when they reconnect, and my passion is engaging in the process of that, you know, and supporting people in that, and that's really what took me to the Amazon in the first place, was wanting to understand how to support people more in that reconnection.
Right. And as a psychologist or as a counseling psychologist, you specialize in addiction recovery, you specialize in anger management. Talk to us a little bit about what that practice looks like.
Yes. You know, it's so much the same. In the end, things boil down to how much we resist something in the moment. You know, if there's a feeling that we have that's uncomfortable,
right?
The tendency is to say, oh, I don't want to feel that. I don't like that. And so we'll kind of push it down. And when that happens, there's a disconnect. There's a way that we become separated from a part of ourselves. And then there's a longing for that. So in addictions, for example, you know, when you really work with people struggling with addictions, that's a huge issue, you know, where there were some sort of painful moments in life or even traumas that were too hard to feel, and people just didn't know how to really get in and release those. And so they turn to substances to numb and to keep hiding from that. And I don't even mean you know, alcohol and drugs. I mean, we have a society where people turn to TV and shopping and, you know,
right,
all kinds of addictions.
Right.
So it really shows up in all of my work, even if I'm not working with people, you know, who specifically have particular substance addictions, but, and anger as well. You know, anger is a secondary emotion. So
right,
there's something underneath that's really going on that we want to get at. And that's what I'm passionate about, is getting deep in there and underneath and that's what they're doing in the jungle.
So as an emotional intuitive life coach, how does that differ to just a regular life coach? Look at the emotional intuitive bit. What does that mean specifically?
Yeah. You know, that part of it has really been a journey for me that I am so grateful for. But an ability that we all have, really, but was just more intense for me growing up, where I could really feel what was going on for someone else. And I know everyone, you know, Cam, you know, when you walk up to someone who's really angry, like, whoa, you can feel those vibes even if they're not saying anything.
Right, right.
And there's a lot of communication between people. And so what I've come to develop as a coach is an ability to pick up on emotions and patterns in people that they might be rejecting or denying or just not aware of. And so how that benefits them is that when we're together, and I actually mostly work on the phone, so it's really incredible because we're so connected, you don't actually have to be in the same room.
Right, right.
And so I use my body as a sounding board, and I can feel where those blocked places are, and then I help that other person tap into that themselves and come to develop their own increased ability to feel themselves, to increase that mind-body connection. So it's kind of, I think of it as coaching and not healing, because I'm actually helping to teach people how to feel themselves and how to be really present in their bodies.
Yeah, that's
and
an important
difference.
It's a
wonderful thing.
Yeah, important difference there. And I know that you love bringing psychological and mind-body approaches to support the work of the traditional shamans work. But we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about that. And I want to hear some of the experiences you had being an apprentice to a traditional shaman. My guest is Tracy James, and you are listening to Conversations Live. There's no book attached to this, just in case anyone thinks I'm forgetting to mention it today. But my guest is Tracy James, and you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll be right back.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun. Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Jonathan Shapiro, Emmy and Peabody Award-winning TV writer and producer, Harvard-educated Rhodes Scholar, former federal prosecutor and law professor, and now author of Lawyers, Liars, and the Art of Storytelling. He'll share the components of a great story, how to develop your story to get the results you want, and basic narrative techniques that everyone should know to help in day-to-day living. Keep up with show news on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and be sure and tune in every Monday at noon.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. That used to be one of my favorite pieces of music when my brother had his motorcycle and we'd scream down the street doing wheelies on it. Oh, I'd be on the back of it. But I'm very pleased to be talking today with Tracy James. And of course, she has spent 5 years being apprenticed to a traditional shaman in the Amazon jungle. She just got back 2 weeks ago. And she says, we are born to be wild. So we're going to look a little bit more about that in this next segment with Tracy. We were just talking during the break, and Tracy, I think it's true to say you've been coming backwards and forwards a lot between America and the Amazon. The longest period of time you spent there is 16 months. You usually go for 5 to 6 months a year. So a lot of experience there. And we were just talking about culture shock when you come back. You swap the Amazon jungle for the New York jungle, but there are definitely perks both ways, right?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's wonderful to be in the jungle, but it has made me so appreciative of what we have here in the States, and, you know, from nutritious foods and lots of, you know, yoga and all kinds of incredible spaces we have here to grow spiritually. And so I love both. I like to go back and forth.
We've done a lot of shows lately, or two or three shows, I should say, on rewilding and the importance of being in nature. I'm a huge outdoors lover myself. I think being in nature, there's just something so very powerful about it. But I wonder if you'd share from your perspective, since you made the statement, people are born to be wild, what you mean by that and why it's so important to spend time outdoors in nature.
Yes. Vicky, we are not robots. And I, you know, one of the things I notice when I come back is I see
people. We look like robots.
We look like robots. People are going, they get in the car in the garage, and then they drive to the office, they go to the garage, and then they get into their, you know, climate controlled office. And then it's like, you know, there's actually literally, you know, people could go days without any type of natural exposure whatsoever, even not even looking at a tree. And so I think that it can get so easy in this digital age, which is wonderful. You know, I love technology. And it can also focus us so much on the screens and on, you know, the social media that we forget our wild side. You know, that actually when we're in nature, we feel incredible. And I notice this. When I go to the Amazon, the first 3 days, it's like it takes me about 3 days to really, really sink in. You know, because I feel like my body is kind of activated by our Western life, you know, the
right.
stimulation of things. And so I feel like one of my missions is to help people remember that they're not robots, and that, you know, when you put yourself out there in nature, you don't have to go for, you know, some huge long period of time, but even just an afternoon, sit under a tree, take a 5-minute break at work, you know, there's so many little ways to help reconnect and just remember who you really are.
Right.
You know, that we're not separate from, you know, animals and the birds. You know, we're made of the same stuff, and we need that connection with nature. It calms us. It brings more balance. All that anxiety is really lifted away when we connect with the earth.
Mm. I used to live right by the ocean, you know, with big crashing waves. And it's very hard. It doesn't matter what I was worried about when I lived there. If I was walking on the beach, let's say for an hour, I could guarantee within 10, 15 minutes, all I could hear was the wind and the seagulls and the crashing waves. It just takes all of that anxiety away. And there's something I think very grounding about simply getting just barefoot on the grass and the sand. There is for me.
Absolutely.
Anyway. Yeah. So I want to
Absolutely.
Talk about this great experience you've had being apprenticed to a traditional shaman. Tell me how that came about.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I had gone down to Peru 6 years ago, and I had experiences with a plant medicine called ayahuasca with these indigenous shamans there in the Amazon jungle. And I did that because I had heard that they really understood about this mind-body connection. They understood about how to really reconnect us with our natural self. So I really wanted to learn from them. And so I had some very intense experiences. It's a very powerful plant medicine that's visionary and purgative and very intense. And kind of like you think about peyote, the Native American tradition, it's kind of a similar thing, but quite intense. People say it's like a year of therapy in one night kind of a thing.
Wow.
So, you know, I had 7 of these experiences, and they were really something. I had so much respect for this work these shamans were doing. I could completely get the value, you know, as a mental health practitioner and just someone who had, you know, done a lot of personal work. I was blown away by it. And at the same time, it was so intense that I, when I left there, I thought, I'm never doing that again. Like, that was great, but I don't need to do it again. And then, over the course of a few months after coming back, I noticed such a profound change in myself, in my relationship with my family, in my own ability to manage stress, in my creativity. And so I was just really, you know, fascinated by, you know, how that worked. And so I decided, I had actually found out that the place where I had done this work with these shamans in the jungle, they were looking for someone to lead these retreats. And so a friend of mine and I, who I had met there, you know, we talked and we said, let's go and create our own version of this. Like, let's go do what we would think would be the ideal situation, which would be to blend a bit more of the Western perspective with it to support this work that the shamans are doing. You know, they come from a very different perspective. They're very much in the moment. They're not so much about analyzing, you know, which
right.
we love to do.
Right.
You know, what's
well,
going
it
on
stops
here
us,
and why.
You know, sometimes that analysis stops us having to take action and change anything, right?
Right. Exactly. And so I think there's a really good balance. And that's a lot of the work I've been doing apprenticing with these shamans, because, you know, we're actually kind of finding our own middle ground, you know, where we can integrate a lot of what they are bringing and a lot of what I've learned, you know, and it's just been this very powerful, really potent experience. So that was what I did. And I feel for myself like it was a calling, you know, it was something that I've built to do that I really love and will continue to do. But it's definitely challenging, you know, going to the jungle is not always easy. But I do work to, I bring groups down there and I work to make it as supported and loving an experience as possible for people so that they can really go deep in themselves. Because you can go deep.
Right. So,
with this thing.
So what, during the course of this experience, and you've had lots of experiences, but what do you think surprised you the most about the work you were doing?
You know, I've always been I've always loved nature, but what surprised me the most was actually how much nature is a consciousness, a minded entity. And when you go to the jungle, you know, the shamanic way of working, and this is not just in the Amazon, I mean, all over the world, you know, traditionally, indigenous people were working in communion with nature. But I mean that you can sit and listen to plant spirits teach you how to do things, how to heal. When you ask a shaman, okay, well, who was your teacher? How did you learn how to do this incredible stuff? They will say, well, my grandmother or my father taught me many things, but really, it's the plant spirit. That the plants in the jungle are a universe. The jungle's a university, and the plants are the teachers.
So I
was blown away by that.
Okay, so let's just go a little deeper into that. Are they talking about, you know, inhaling or smoking the plants, and that's the teaching, or are they talking about what are they talking about specifically there?
Usually, you drink the plants or you bathe in them is the most common way of experiencing. I mean, there are many, many hundreds, and the shamans that I work with are very knowledgeable about, you know, the different medicinal properties and everything. But in essence, you're either drinking a plant or you're kind of bathing in it and absorbing it. and not, you know, it's not always drinking very much, or, you know, and not many of them are not hallucinogenic or anything like that. It's mainly the ayahuasca is like that, but there are many, many, many other plants that you take. Like, for example, you know, pharmaceutical companies can go down to the jungle and they want to find remedies. They're looking for plants that can heal certain things. And so they'll find shamans to heal certain things, and they'll say, okay, well, let's just take these plants back and we'll put them in the lab and we'll mix them together and they're going to do the same thing. And they don't. And then the shaman kind of laughs and says, well, they didn't ask the spirit of the plant to deliver that specific type of healing to the person. You know, they didn't, they just kind of treated it like, you know, chemistry. And so they said, well, how do you expect that, that this is going to heal someone if you haven't actually asked the plant spirit to do it? So it's, there's a kind of a communion that they have and a you know, a kind of conversation that's going on that can happen between us and nature much more often than we allow or, you know, realize we can do.
Right. So it's about being very conscious, very mindful, and taking the time to do that, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, and it doesn't have to take too much.
Right. For most people, they're not going to be able to zip off to the Amazon or Peru or Nepal to do this.
Right.
But, you know, we all have access to a backyard or a patch of grass somewhere, a park, a beach. What do you think are the keys to blending ancient wisdom with our modern day life?
You know, one of the biggest keys, you know, the Einstein says, and I'm not quoting him exactly, but that we have a choice to decide whether we live in a friendly universe or not. And that choice really can affect our day-to-day experience. And I think that in these ancient traditions, there was a feeling that there is a friendliness to spirits. You know, there is a connectedness and an interconnectedness, and that we can receive help even just by kind of going in and meditating and feeling our own intuitive self. You know, there's help there. There's good. There's friendliness. And so I think that so many people walk around really stressed, really afraid, constantly thinking, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to have this bad thing happen? Or, you know, is this, you know, and just really in an anxious state, you know, and then taking these antidepressants and anti-anxiety stuff. And so I think one of the big things that I notice, you know, as I'm observing these indigenous people and their environment and, you know, there's just more of a sense that of trust, you know, that nature will provide, you know, that good is there. And I still am a very realistic person, and I understand, you know, we have to be conscious about our choices and, you know, and plan for things as well. But I think that we could use a big dose of positivity and a lot of, you know, feeling that actually, you know what, things can be okay. You know, what if it turned out well? How about that?
Right.
You know, and then even feeling gratitude, like looking at all the ways that life has been so supportive of us. So I think, you know, that's one thing that I've really found with them, that I've integrated a lot in my life and noticed a real profound change.
And so how do you think that you have changed? How has Tracy changed? Like, if you look at pre-Amazon experience to now, how have you changed over these past 5 years?
You know, the main piece is that I have a profound feeling of trust that whatever is going on in my life that might be challenging or anything at all, that it is here to serve me and to develop me. So there's nothing I have to be afraid of or to resist or fight against, that I can embrace whatever is showing up and that I can work with it to grow. You know, how is this thing developing something in me right now? You know, what is it that I can tap into in myself to meet this situation? And that's been one of the biggest shifts for me that I noticed, you know, just changed the quality of my life.
Right.
Tremendously.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's always interesting to talk to people who go on these kind of journeys. And I am sure there's a book in here. Did I read somewhere there's a book coming out? There has to be
there
somewhere,
is.
Right?
It's written, and I'm, you know, exploring publishers and publishing right now and getting into that world. So it should be out in 2016, and it's called Journeying with Ayahuasca, which
okay.
I co-wrote with a dear friend who I was down there with, and Lucine Usani is her name. And so, yes, so there will be a book about working with this particular plant medicine, ayahuasca. And, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
All right, well, we would love to have you back when that comes out. So let's just close today's segment, because we're right at the end here, with a final thought from you, Tracy, to our listeners today.
Well, I just want to encourage people to be kind with yourself, you know, and take little steps to reconnect with nature and yourself. I have actually on my website a free download of shamanic journeying meditation that I think could be really helpful.
Awesome.
The site is www.formodernmystics.com. That's formodernmystics.com. And they can just download that for free and journey and get reconnected with themselves more.
Tracy James, thanks so much. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Vicki. It's been a pleasure.
And the website, again, is formodernmystics.com, and you can find the free downloadable meditations there. And also Tracy writes a blog, which you might find interesting too, so go check it out, formodernmystics.com. All right, please stay with us. We're going to be talking about journeys of a different kind when we come back with Kristin Kaufman. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, we cover the world of animals. This week, June 7th, it's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on all of our regulars, the birds and the horses, plus we'll get all the details about elephants, bamboo, and chai now in Oklahoma, and hear more about how you can join me on my birthday, June 20th. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Jonathan Shapiro, Emmy and Peabody Award-winning TV writer and producer, Harvard-educated Rhodes Scholar, former federal prosecutor and law professor, and now author of Lawyers, Liars, and the Art of Storytelling. He'll share the components of a great story, how to develop your story to get the results you want, and basic narrative techniques that everyone should know to help in day-to-day living. Keep up with show news on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and be sure and tune in every Monday at noon.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and we're kind of talking about journeys today, different kinds of journeys. My next guest is Kristen Kaufman. This is the second time she's joined us. She has a new book out in her series called Is This Seat Taken? It's Never Too Late to Find the Right Seat. And we'll talk about that in a second, but let me tell you a little bit more about Kristen. She's held senior executive positions at Hewlett-Packard, Vignette Corporation, and United Health Group. And she's also worked with the New York City Leadership Academy effort. She's been awarded the distinction of professional certified coaches from the International Coaching Federation. Lots of awards, lots of accomplishments, very business oriented. And for those who don't remember when Kristen was on last time, she jumped off the hamster wheel, as she called it, a few years ago. And I'm pleased to welcome her back today. Kristen Kaufman, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back.
Well, last time you joined us, you shared how you'd woken up in your hotel one day and thought, what the heck am I doing with my life?
Exactly.
And here you are. How many years later now is this?
It's been 7 years, going on eight, since I started my own company and became an author and a speaker. And it's just been the best decision ever.
And your company is Alignment Inc., right? It's a consultancy group.
Yes, yes. It's a consultancy that helps individuals as well as organizations and companies become aligned, so to speak.
Great. We need more alignment in our life. And so I wonder, it hasn't been that long. It's been maybe a couple of years since you and I talked before. But I'm wondering if you'd fill us in with what's been the best thing that's happened to you since we last talked?
Oh, I think a couple of things. One, publishing this second book was, a dream and an accomplishment that I was really focused on doing. So when it was, in fact, released earlier this year, I felt like that was just a huge accomplishment for me, and I'm really proud that it's now a part of a series. So that would be one, I guess, really great thing that's happened. And I also have extended my business above and beyond just the consultancy and coaching with around alignment to include a vehicle for individuals that I work with to achieve alignment. So it's a direct sales business that I'm offering, and that also has been just an amazing and very unexpected decision to join that organization, and I've loved it. So those would be, I guess, two big accomplishments in the last couple of years.
Right. So it sounds as though you took a fork in the road with that second part, though, and that's serendipitous in many ways, because this book is about that. It's about coming to a fork in the road and which path you take, right?
Absolutely. And I think one thing that, you know, I definitely hope we'll cover today in our discussion is that it's very liberating, you know, to give yourself permission to color outside the line, so to speak. And I think oftentimes, especially those of us who are recovering corporate executives or corporate citizens, we're geared to think that there's only one path that you can take, and that path is to put, you know, your foot on the next rung of a corporate ladder. And this book, this second book that I've written, is hopefully going to share with people there really are multiple ways that we can find alignment and fulfillment, and that we can contribute, you know, in our professional careers.
Yeah, I echo exactly what you just said. I think it is so hard when you've spent, you know, 10, 15 years in corporate life, and it's so structured. It's very often black or white, especially the industry I was in. It was, you know, financial industry. It's pretty black and white there.
Yeah.
Although working with people gave you some creative outlet. But it gets ingrained in you. And even though I've been away from that really for many years now, it is still something I struggle with. I feel myself falling back into that structured 9-to-5 kind of thinking. I have to pull myself away from it.
Well, I think sometimes it breeds comfort, right? Because there's no, you show up at 9, you leave at 5, quote unquote, although it's never 9-to-5. It's normally 7-to-7.
Right. 7 days a week.
Right. But I think, you know, there is a level of comfort, though, because people show up, they do their jobs, they go home. And entrepreneurship, as you well know, is not that way. You know, we live, eat, and breathe our entrepreneurship and how we are going to make a living, you know, and I actually find that quite fulfilling, but it's not for everyone.
It isn't for everyone, and that's an important point you make, because people do need to figure out, you know, is this for me? You have to come at it from an authentic place and feel good about it.
That's right.
If you're lying awake worrying every night, it's not working for you.
No, exactly. That's right.
So you describe this book, and this is appropriate because I said at the beginning of the show that when I read the book, I felt really motivated and inspired by these stories. And you describe it yourself as a giant shot of vitamin B12. So talk to us a little bit about the book, if you would.
Yes, well, you know, the book came to be because in my coaching practice and in working with individuals in large corporations, I have been amazed at how many get laid off, you know, late in life. You know, when you hit 55, let's get real. You know, you are at risk of being riffed because of your age and because they're looking for a younger corporate citizen that they can bring into a job, possibly at a lesser salary. So I began to run into these people in my corporate career that they really weren't sure, number one, what they were going to do. You know, they had that epiphany of, now what am I going to do? I've been laid off. I'm older. I'm probably not the most attractive candidate for a new job in corporate America. And so it led me to try to research other individuals who perhaps had the same exact situation, and what did they do about it? And so this book is a collection of stories, 15 stories, of people, some that are very well-known, names that your listeners will recognize, and others who are what I would call the anonymous people, who very late in life, in some cases, you know, post the age of 65, 75, and in one case, 85, whose lives take on a new trajectory for a variety of reasons. Some, you know, it's an accidental, although I don't really believe in accidents. Others, it's a very deliberate choice that they are wanting to recreate their lives. But the key takeaway is that all of them have created a new chapter in their life very late in life. And some, if not all, have achieved financial independence through those choices. And I just found it very inspiring researching. I was inspired researching these stories, much less writing these stories, right?
I can imagine. And what these people are all very different people. Some are alive, most are passed on now, but their stories are just incredible. Was there a commonality in personality type or character trait that you recognized?
You know, not really. There were some commonalities as far as the observations, and I've highlighted those in the last chapter of the book, but the personalities and their choices are as different as snowflakes, you know, to use an analogy or a metaphor. But their similarities are things like the incidental encounters that, in fact, I don't believe are incidental at all.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of these people had an incidental encounter that affected their life trajectory. And that, to me, is a universal truth, that all of us, if we would just get our eyes out of our iPhones and actually engage with individuals that serendipitously cross our path, we never know what that incidental introduction or meeting could, what opportunities it could introduce us to. So that was one similarity, Vicki, that every single person in this book had.
Mm-hmm.
Another, I guess, commonality is that all of these individuals recognize the power of choice, that we choose to lead the life that we decide to lead. I think a lot of times in our world today, we think that we don't have choice, that, oh my gosh, you know, I'm on the hamster wheel. I have to stay on the hamster wheel because I've got a mortgage and I've got insurance to pay for, et cetera, et cetera. And what I'm here to say is, absolutely, that is not the case. We always have the power to choose the life that we want to create for ourselves.
Right.
And these individuals that I wrote about actually exemplified that.
They do indeed. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll talk about a couple of those when we come back. And I just want to leave this segment with a quote that you put in the book by Joseph Campbell, one of my favorite authors, of course, that we must be willing to let go of the life we'd planned so as to have the life that's waiting for us, which is basically what you've just said. We have the choice. We have the choice there. And it's just sometimes hard to remember that. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of our favorite people in, well, one of my favorite people. I'm not sure Kristen has a favorite, but we'll talk about a couple of them when we come back. The book is called Is This Seat Taken? It's the second in the series. And my guest, of course, is Kristen Kaufman. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you, at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Kristen Kaufman. Her new book is called Is This Seat Taken? It's never too late to find the right seat. And this is the second in the series, the second time Kristen's joined our show here. And this book is full of amazing stories about amazing people who've come to a crossroads in their life or a fork in the road and had to make choices. And it's really, I think Kristen described it best. She said the book is like a giant shot of vitamin B12, and I would agree with her. It's very motivational, very inspiring when you read these stories. And as promised, we're going to share a couple of the favorites here. My favorite is Anna Mary Robertson Kristen, because I'd heard about this lady and, you know, wondered if it was kind of urban legend because I heard that she started painting in her 80s. But there's so much more to this woman who's paintings now sell for millions of dollars. So I wonder if you'd share some of Anna Mary's story with us.
Yes. Well, her story, I mean, for those of the listeners that you have that are perhaps our age will recognize Grandma Moses. Many of your younger listeners may not even know who Grandma Moses is, but her story is absolutely remarkable. She was a housekeeper. She was one of 13 children, and she was obviously coming from a relatively poor upbringing. And she married a houseboy, so she and her husband were domestics, and they had themselves a very large family. Her story, though, what is so amazing to me is that she buried every single child. Mm-hmm. She had 10 children, and she buried every single child, every sibling, and every relative before she herself passed away. So I find it amazing to just think about that
tough loss that she
faced in her life and the resiliency that she had. But her story, what was so amazing, is that she, at 87 years of age, had very bad arthritis, and one of her creative outlets was needlepoint. She would do crewel and needlepoint, and she could no longer hold the needle in her hand because her arthritis was so bad. And her last surviving relative, whom she was taking care of at the time, said, "Why don't you try holding a paintbrush, because the diameter is thicker than your needle, and just put that paintbrush in between your large knuckles and see if you can't paint," which is what she did. And she began to paint on pieces of wood, because that was really all she could afford. And she would offer these paintings to, you know, craft shows and thrift stores, etc. And lo and behold, she had, I don't know, give or take 5 to 10 paintings that did not sell, and a friend of hers put them in a drugstore window where they stayed for almost 5 years. They collected cobwebs and dust, and they just sat there, and they were being sold for 50 cents, 75 cents each. Lo and behold, a traveling amateur art collector who was actually there on a business trip happened upon these paintings in the little town of Hoosick Falls, New Jersey, and said, fell in love with them and said, "I want all of them." So he bought all of these paintings for, you know, a whopping 50 cents, 75 cents a piece, took them back to New York, shared them with a gallery owner, and basically the rest is history. So what I find so inspiring about that is that it was out of a difficulty, a medical difficulty that she had, that she even took up painting in the first place.
Right.
She took it up very late in life. It was through an incidental encounter that her paintings were discovered, and, you know, and then her life took on a completely different turn. So her story is inspiring on multiple levels.
Yeah.
To me.
87 years old. I mean, who takes up a new hobby at 87 years old? She's amazing. Awesome.
She is amazing. And died very humble. You know, she was a very humble person, very grateful for her life. All of her paintings represented her memory of how she was reared, you know, in the country, and just very simple things in life that she put on the canvas. So her story represents lots of goodness.
Yeah, she was 101 years old when she died. I'm just going to read this quote you have in your book from Grandma Moses. She said, "I look out the window sometimes to see the color of the shadows and the different greens in the trees. But when I get ready to paint, I just close my eyes and imagine a scene." I think that's lovely.
It is lovely. It is lovely.
And so the alignment lesson at the end of each segment that you feature, each person that you featured in the book, you have alignment lessons. And this is that riches lie in the simplest of details. One of them is riches lie in the simplest of details. Tell us what that means.
Well, I think, you know, where she was coming from, where Anna Mary was coming from, is that oftentimes, especially I think in the age that we live in now of gratification and material possessions and creating wealth for ourselves, we forget that truly the most beautiful things in life are indeed the most simple things in life. You know, the sunset, the blue skies. I mean, I live in Dallas, and we hadn't seen the sun for almost 4 weeks because of all the floods. And the sun came out this weekend, and we were all like, "Oh my gosh, we take it for granted. It's beautiful." And so I think that's really what she's talking about, is that, you know, the riches do in fact lie in the very simplest of details in our own lives.
Well, we have about 4 minutes left in this segment, Kristen. So I wonder if you'd share your favorite story with us.
Yes, well, I have a couple. One of my favorites is about a woman by the name of Jacqueline Qualls, whom I actually met when I took up this direct sales aspect of my business. And her story is probably unlike many that many of us know about. She was 62 years of age. She was laid off due to her age. She did not have enough money to retire in the way in which she wanted. She wasn't sure what she was going to do. She happened to attend this direct sales meeting, said, well, I'll just give that a whirl. 5 years later, she is bringing in $1.5 million a year. She has built an incredible residual income for herself. And her story is so, well, it's not only remarkable and inspiring, but it's something that all of us can do. You know, we just simply have to make the choice that we want to do it. And her example is all about attitude and giving yourself permission to dream, that you can do anything you set your mind to do. And it just is a very inspiring story, and it's one that is very relevant, I think, for today.
Mm. I like the quote at the end of that, too, by Jacqueline Qualls. You must take personal responsibility. I think that's something that's so lacking in today's culture, people taking personal responsibility. She said, you cannot change the circumstances, seasons, or wind, but you can change yourself. And it's nice to know we have something we can be in charge of.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I tell my clients all the time that we have the ability to change three things in our life. Our ABCs. We can change our attitude, we can change our beliefs, and we can change our choices, our ABCs. Unfortunately, we can't change anybody else's, but we can, in fact, change our own.
And just by doing that, by taking care of our own ABCs, I bet we see change in people around us, you know. And if not, then it's probably time to move off.
Well, that's your choice at that point, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you, Kristen. Great stories in this book. Yes, I do feel as though I had my vitamin B12 shot after reading it. So a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today.
Oh, I think, you know, just do we have the opportunity to create the life we want. We have the ability to make the choices so that we can, in fact, create the life we want. And it's never too late. It is never too late to create the life that we actually want to live.
And are you working on a third book?
I am. I actually am working on a third and a fourth. The third one is this seat taken? No, I saved it for you. And the fourth one is this seat taken? Yes.
Okay.
And that one is all about setting boundaries and, you know, how to, I guess, exercise the muscle of saying no, because I think a lot of us have the disease of saying yes to everything, and before you know it, you're overextended. So that fourth book, I think, will resonate with many of your listeners.
Yes, yes. And a final quick before we end, what did you take away from this book yourself?
I was inspired that at 53 years of age that it is never too late for me to shift the direction that my life is going. I love my life. I love the direction it's going. And I love that, you know, these people that have set this example have inspired me that at 53 years of age, I have a good 30, if not 40 years left on the planet, and I can do anything that I want with that time.
Love it, love it. Kristen Kaufman, thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
And you can find out more about Kristen and her work at kristenkaufman.com. I just want to check with Kristen. That's correct, right? Yes, kristenkaufman.com, I see on the back of the book.
It is correct, yes.
And the book is called Is This Seat Taken? It's Never Too Late to Find the Right Seat. Remember, that's never too late to find the right seat. I want to thank each of you for being with us today. You can find out more about us, and if you have questions or comments, you can find us at conversationslive.net. You can email me at info@conversationslive.net, or you can call 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. We're on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair and Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair.
If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Jonathan Shapiro, Emmy and Peabody Award-winning TV writer and producer, Harvard-educated Rhodes Scholar, former federal prosecutor and law professor, and now author of Lawyers, Liars, and the Art of Storytelling. He'll share the components of a great story, how to develop your story to get the results you want, and basic narrative techniques that everyone should know to help in day-to-day living. Keep up with show news on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and be sure and tune in every Monday at noon.